Red Line.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and its weekend program, The Red Line, with me, Andrew Kripko.
And Sergei Sorokin.
Welcome to today's program, and this is what we want to highlight as the news-breaking stories of the week that proved to be extremely tense, dramatic, and controversial. President Putin waltzing the Asian dragons. Russia's pivot to Asia is gaining momentum as President Putin hosted an historic meeting with the leaders of the ASEAN countries at the Black Sea Resort of Sochi, creating a sea of opportunities for business and reinforcing political ties with the rising giants of the Asia-Pacific region. Libya, welcome to arms. Despite the five-year UN arms embargo against Tripoli, world powers took the uneasy decision to resume weapon supplies to the Government of National Accord in Libya as it struggles to stop major offenses from Daesh and other terrorist groups. And also, Michel Temer, non-Olympic Games. Brazil's former Vice President Michel Temer, who played a key role in ousting his former ally, President Dilma Rousseff, from power, formed his new cabinet despite ongoing mass protests against the major political reshuffle, which has been seen by many as a coup. So let us come to our first section, Beyond the Headlines, to speak about Russia's renewed embrace of the ASEAN nations. Russia's pivot to Asia is gaining momentum as President Putin hosted an historic meeting of the leaders of the ASEAN countries at the Black Sea Resort of Sochi, creating a sea of opportunities for business and reinforcing political ties with the rising giants of the Asia-Pacific region. The Southeast Asian bloc of nations recently formed the ASEAN Economic Community at the end of last year, moving one step closer to full integration and creating a more formalized market of over 600 million people, which is larger than the EU. The region has an abundance of economic potential, which is giving rise to its own geopolitical power as the gatekeeper between the Indian and Pacific Oceans, which pivotally places it right between India and China. Located at the crossroads of the world's most important maritime trade routes, ASEAN has an irreplaceable role to play in heightening Russia's global strategic standing.
Well, Andrew, I think that what's happening this week in Sochi is really extraordinary because de facto, Sochi has turned into improvised capital of Southeast Asia. No one could have imagined that such things would ever happen. As you know, there was a lot of talk over Russia's pivot to Asia policy, which was proclaimed in 2014, shortly after we entered into the war of sanctions with the West. And there was a lot of misconception over that policy. Some were saying that it is only restricted to strategic partnership with China. But now we see this is not the case anymore, because just a couple of weeks back, we've seen Prime Minister Abe from Japan visiting Sochi and talking to President Putin. And then we see that ASEAN summit, which is third in its history, it is jubilee. But what makes it important is not only the symbolism of dates of today, but the very fact that, as you said, Russia's pivot to Asia is shaping up, it is gaining momentum, it doesn't look like a political project. And I invite all our audience, all those who are interested in Russia's relations with Asia, to watch what's happening in Sochi today, because you'll see that there's not only marathon of political meetings, but heavyweights of business are coming there, they're negotiating deals, and this is the deals which are worth billions.
Yeah, I have to say, it's very exciting, and I'm very interested to see where this all goes in the future and what they build off of. And so because we're discussing this very hot-button topic and it's very relevant, we're going to address this topic to our in-studio guest, Mr. Ivan Timofeyev. He's Director of Programs at the Russian International Affairs Council. Hello, Mr. Timofeyev. How are you?
Oh, hello. Good. Thanks.
Hi. So with everything happening in Sochi, how do you assess Russia's relations with ASEAN, and where do you see them headed, both politically and economically?
Well, the summit in Sochi is, of course, a significant landmark in our relations with ASEAN countries. And this alliance, economic alliance, is important for Russia, taking into account our intention, strategic intention, to increase the economic ties with the Asia-Pacific region, which is one of the most dynamic in terms of economy. However, we should keep in mind several important things talking about and thinking about Russia-ASEAN relations. The first one is that ASEAN is, first of all, an economic project, so it's about economy. So we should not overestimate geopolitical role of the whole thing. So, and also, it is not a, let's say, an Asian-European Union. So it's a different thing. It's more flexible, obligations are less strong. So this is a very specific economic alliance. The second thing is that Russia herself has opportunities in this market which are underestimated. We have opportunities in terms of energy, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of information technologies, etc. However, we should not overestimate the speed and the volume of this economic trade. So inevitably, the presence of Russia there in the region will not be by now very high. So we need to make a big job to make Russia more representative in this market. And another thing, Eurasian Economic Union is also a player here. So we now have, the Union, a free trade zone with Vietnam, which is a part of ASEAN. And this is a good asset for the Eurasian Economic Union members. However, the Union itself should become more matured, more integrated, to be a more active player, including in relations with ASEAN. So strategically, this is not only Russia-ASEAN. Strategically, this is also Eurasian Union as a union, as a new economic bloc, and ASEAN as a big economic bloc too.
Mr. Timofey, you mentioned ASEAN. Obviously, that's an economic bloc, yeah, which is meant to boost up regional economic integration. Let me ask you a straightforward question. I don't want to bring a rosy picture of Russia's relations with ASEAN. I hope, as a leading academician who is involved in articulating Russia's policy, Asian policy, you are well aware that if we look at the number of trade with ASEAN, mm-hmm, it's quite modest.
Yeah, it's very modest.
You know, there's a theory in academician world, there's a theory of delayed start.
Yep.
So I think that Russia's relations with Southeast Asia till recently looked as a sort of a delayed start. There were too much of expectations, but quite a little modest result. I remember in my old days, that was in the 90s when I was a journalist accompanying Russia's foreign ministers during that time, we were, mm-hmm, also visiting ASEAN summit. I remember the talk of the day during that was more than 20 years back. So tomorrow ASEAN business would come to our regions. They will entirely change Siberia, Far East. Where are those investments? Mm-hmm. So where are all those talks? And it seems that only now we are really trying to make a push and to make it a reality. So why it didn't work during that time, and why it can work now?
Well, business is very pragmatic. So business comes with investments when it has markets, when it has a prospect for profit. So, and this is actually the case of Russia, because the problem is mostly on our side, and this is an economic problem, not political. So everything is fine on political level. We have this summit. But what the problem is, a poorly diversified economy. Siberia and Far East is poorly populated, and to have an economic growth, you need more population, more consumers. So who would, buy and consume products produced in the region or export them? But this is not the case of the region. So we have poor infrastructure, low density of population. So we should solve these problems on our side, and investments would come.
Red Line.
We have another guest in the line that can add more to that. That's Mr. Timothy Meeser. He's an independent geopolitical analyst from Singapore. Hello, Mr. Meeser. How are you today?
Hi, good morning. Good.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So what I'd like to ask you is, I know that Singapore is going to be party to the TPP agreement, but at the same time, ASEAN is discussing a possible free trade agreement with the Eurasian Union. So can you maybe explain to us how these two economic structures could overlap and what Singapore's role can be in bringing them together?
Well, I mean, in terms of partnership and cooperation between the two, economic ties between Russia and ASEAN still very much lacking. I mean, although it has improved in the past 10 years, I think, by about fourfold, Russia's influence in the region still has a long way to go. And strengthening economic ties would be one way to establish itself as an Asia-Pacific power. However, even though the ASEAN economic community brought about a more formalized economic market in Southeast Asia. Still not a customs union, so, you know, it does not have an external tariff unlike the AU. So I'm not sure how much change a possible free trade agreement would bring about for ASEAN. I mean, in terms of Singapore's role, Singapore, it is negotiated with, these free trade agreements, they are being negotiated with ASEAN member states bilaterally. So, well, right now, Laos, Indonesia, and Singapore are in talks with Russia. It remains to be seen what will actually happen.
Jib, as you know, this is the third summit Russia-ASEAN in the history of our relations. The previous summit took place in 2010 during President Medvedev, and President Putin was talking to the leaders of ASEAN more than 10 years back. That was in Malaysia, as you remember, 2005. What is the difference of this particular summit from that summit, and what are the hopes which are pinned in Southeast Asia on Moscow now?
Well, yeah, I mean, as you know, Russia has actually been engaging with the region for the past 20 years, although currently it seems like efforts are being stepped up. I mean, everyone expects this to be the Asian century, so it's understandable that Russia wants a piece of the pie. Well, yeah, it's just recognition that Asia-Pacific is the most important economic region in the coming decades, and of course Russia needs this boost in using this opportunity to develop its Far Eastern region. In terms of what both sides is expecting, I don't know. You know, Asian observers, they probably because of how Russia has engaged with the region in the past, they characterize Russian interests in the region as sporadic. You know, I mean, Russian leaders, even though Russia is involved in ASEAN cooperation activities like, you know, the ASEAN Defense Ministers Meeting Plus, ASEAN Regional Forum and East Asia Summit, Russian leaders frequently skip these high-profile events. And, ASEAN experts also, you know, have the view that Russia is often too close to China or too reliant on military power for projecting its influence. You know, they cite business risks due to Western sanctions, although that might not be entirely founded. And, of course, you know, see the perception that Asia to Russia is viewed as a second choice after failed European aspirations. So, you know, there's a lot of doubt on the other side.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Timothy, for giving us a perspective from the inside out about ASEAN and Russia. Right now, we have Ms. Yekaterina Koldunova on the line with us. She's a senior expert at the ASEAN Center at MGIMO University in Moscow.
Red Line.
Hello, Ms. Koldunova. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. With you being an expert in ASEAN, I was wondering if you could explain to our audience just how historic this meeting is and how strong of a signal it indicates of Russia's new foreign policy and economic policy.
Well, the current summit actually is the third one, and it's also a commemorative summit because we have a commemorative year, the 20th anniversary of Russia-ASEAN dialogue partnership. The previous two summits took place on ASEAN ground, the first one in KL in Malaysia and the second one in Hanoi in Vietnam. And now the signal is indeed strong because Russia invited all the top leaders of ASEAN member states to visit Russia to see how diverse Russia is, because many of the leaders before going to Sochi visited either Moscow or St. Petersburg. They got the personal impression of Russia, not just a surface one. And as for economic relations, yeah, we can say that the previous years were not the most flamboyant for the economic pillar of our partnership. But at the same time, the progress was quite steady, though modest indeed. Both parties were doing something, were moving ahead, and currently the leaders are discussing the next working program, the next working plan, how to expand the economic relations further. They have these documents on their tables during the summit, and I think that there should be a step forward indeed after this discussion in Sochi. We can further on contemplate what can be the key spheres where Russia and ASEAN can do progress in the economic sphere. But the diversification is there. the political will is there. And I think that the fact that President Putin will have personal meetings with all top leaders is a very important step forward in our relations.
Okay, thank you for telling us all of this, Ms. Khodunova. This is very exciting, and we're very eager to see how this plays out in the coming future and what the long-term results of this meeting will be. Thank you very much for joining us again. We really appreciate it. Now, you have to do your wrap-up, because I already have my wrap-up recorded.
So, I think we had very lively discussion, which showed diversity of opinion, because what Tim was saying was showed a bit of restrained approach, and that's quite understandable. On the other hand, I think what Mr. Timofeyev and Ms. Khodunova were emphasizing shows that we are really opening up a new page in our relationship with Southeast Asia, whether someone likes it or not, and we want to see the results in the coming years.
Yes, and right now we're going to thank all of our guests for participating in today's discussion, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Ivan Timofeyev. He's Director of Programs at the Russian Council for International Relations. Mr. Timothy Misir, he's an independent geopolitical analyst from Singapore. And Ms. Yekaterina Khodunova, she's a senior expert at the ASEAN Center at MGIMO University in Moscow. Following in our program, we have Libya, Welcome to Arms, and Michel Temer, Non-Olympic Games. Stay with us.